don't remember if I mentioned this first semester. The definition, there's a Rashi in Maseches Chulin that says the definition of the word Torah is something that is an eternal teaching. Which means that anything that we would call Torah, we're learning Torah now, right? I think we'd all agree we're about to learn Torah. So Rashi says Torah means something that's an eternal teaching. So the fact that the Rebbe's, you know, writing survived till this point, it must be that Hashem wanted us to learn from them. It's not only, the Rebbe wasn't only talking to Jews who are, many who would lose their lives al Kiddush Hashem in the Holocaust. And sometimes, again, sometimes you learn the Sefer and you think about the actual context of how tragic it was, and you feel like it's almost inappropriate to apply it to my life. Right? So you're going to read about the Rebbe, so he talks about someone who's, you know, who's losing, Parnassa was taken away, or someone who's dying of starvation, or you know, dead bodies all around us, or just the suffering of the Jewish people and the suffering of the Shechina, and you feel almost bad saying, like, you know, I went to the calf and, like, by the time I got there, they were out of the sushi that I like. So, you know, terrible tsaras that I have. You almost feel almost embarrassed to, like, apply it. Or, I don't know, you fell off your skateboard on the way to shir in the morning and you scraped your knee. You feel like, okay, like, it hurts, but, like, it's not, you know, it's not the Holocaust. But the Rebbe is talking to us also. And it's important for us not to say, like, this is, you know, it's not for us to attach ourselves to the pain of these Jews. It's very, very powerful to let the Rebbe, whose Torah is eternal, it's very important to let the Rebbe speak to us. Okay, so let's take a look at this piece. Again, it's from Parshas Bo. I know it's, again, a few weeks ago. Tomorrow we'll learn something from Parshas Yisro, from this week's Parsha. But I just wanted to go back and fill in this piece together. Okay, everyone have it on page Resh Chaf Gimel? Okay, let's take a look. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'al Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'emor. Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron. Sefer in front of us doesn't give us the next few words, but it's pretty critical. HaChodesh hazeh lachem. We're about to enter into Rosh Chodesh, a very unique Chodesh. How many people had a chance to hear of Weinberger? When was it, last night or 2 nights ago? It was last night. I heard it on Wayu Torah on the way in this morning. Gevaldik. Sod HaYibur. The secret of... we're going to do a lot of Purim Torah this year. We're going to learn a lot of Purim. We're going to go deep, deep into Purim. We got plenty of time to get ourselves ready. So we're going to learn a lot of, we're going to be ready. Mirtz Hashem. You can't get ready for Purim. We'll see. The Rebbe is going to teach us. You'll see Be'ish Kodesh teaches us what it means to get ready for Purim. But we're going to do our best, you know, for a Yom Tov that's Adelo Yadav, where you can't know anything. We're going to try to know as much as we can. And then when you get to Purim, you let go of all that Yudia, and you just try to let it happen. But Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem. Perish Rashi Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Rashi explains, Chutz L'Krach, outside of the krach. What's a krach? Yeah, right, in Tzach Megillah, it's a walled city. Outside of the main city, right? Outside of the main city of Mitzrayim. Oh, Eino Ela B'socha Krach. Or maybe it was within the city. Was it in the capital? Was it outside the capital? Where did Hashem speak to Moshe? It says Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Where in Eretz Mitzrayim? Was it on Paro's doorstep? Or was it outside of, you know, downtown Mitzrayim, somewhere in the outskirts? Talmud Lomar, Kitseisi Es Ha'ir, by Makas Barad, it says, Moshe says, Kitseisi Es Ha'ir, when I leave the city, I'll communicate with God. So Rashi explains, based on the Medrash, Umat Tfila Kala Lo Hispal B'soch HaKrach, if Moshe Rabbeinu, for a small tefila, stepped outside of downtown Mitzrayim, Lefisha Haisa Malaya Gilulim, because Mitzrayim was filled with what? What's Gilulim? Avodah Zarah. I don't want to daven it up. I'm not going to daven in downtown Mitzrayim. It's surrounded with Tumas Mitzrayim. So Hashem's going to communicate the first mitzvah to the Jewish people. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. The ability to declare Rosh Chodesh. Dibur Chomer Kazeh Lo Kol Shekin. All the more so. Hashem was talking to Moshe and Aaron, it must have been what? It must have been outside of Mitzrayim. So the Rebbe starts by noticing, v'navin, let us understand. V'hova yomer Moshe ko amar Hashem, kachatzos halayla, ani yotze besoch Mitzrayim. Hashem says to Moshe, in Shemos Perek Yud Aleph, right before this, Hashem says to Moshe, and Moshe conveys to Paro, Vayomer Moshe, Ko Amar Hashem, Hashem has told me the following, Kachatzos HaLayla, at about midnight, Ani Yotze B'soch Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take care of Mitzrayim once and for all. And Rashi over there explains, Perish Rashi, the Ba'omdo Lefnei Paro Nemar Lo Nevuazo, that Moshe got this communication from Hashem right in front of Paro. So in other words, what the Piyaz Zatz Rebbe is trying to wonder and trying to work out for us is, so when does Moshe talk, when does Moshe receive the word of God in the presence of Paro? And when does Moshe need to step outside of Mitzrayim to communicate because Mitzrayim is so filthy with Tumas Mitzrayim? So the Rebbe explains. Again, everyone understands the question, right? Achodesh Azel Lechem, it must have been outside because that's like a main, God giving us the first mitzvah as a nation, it has to be outside. And when Moshe went to what? To Davin for Barad, it must have been that he stepped outside. Right? And yet here, when Moshe is conveying to Paro, by the way, at midnight or around midnight, God is going to take care of Mitzrayim once and for all, Rashi says that took place right in the presence of Paro. So how do you understand? So the Rebbe says, I'll tell you very simply. The Efshar could be, Shirak tfila u'mitzvos lo nemar lo b'mitzrayim. When Moshe davens, or when Moshe receives a mitzvah, that takes place outside of Mitzrayim. Aval, and again, we'll see, as those who've been here the first semester, first month, no, the Rebbe very often, his Torah is also a tefillah to Hashem to end the Holocaust, to end the suffering of the Jewish people. He says, Aval ha'anish harisha'im, to punish the wicked, it's always the right place. You can't delay. It's like pikuach nefesh. It's an emergency. You know, a person gets injured, God forbid, on Shabbos, and you're worried about life or limb. So what's the halach? You take them to the hospital. You drive your car on Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch said, if you hesitate, I don't want to violate Shabbos, this person's life's in danger. Maybe they can wait till after Shabbos. Maybe they won't die. Maybe they will die. The Shulchan Aruch says, you're a murderer. Get in your car and drive to the hospital on Shabbos. All right? Safek pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. There's an emergency. We can't wait. So when HaKadosh Baruch was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, it's time to get power once and for all and get the Jews out of Mitzrayim, that communication has to take place wherever it takes place. You don't wait to find exactly the right environment. When Moshe is davening, when Moshe is getting mitzvos, there's certain types of communication that Moshe can get to a more optimal location before communicating with Hashem. But when it comes to punishing the wicked, when it comes, he writes in the fourth line, V'lig'ol es Yisrael, ein meniyah, there's no meniyah, there's no blockage, there's no obstacle. It has to happen. As soon as it can happen, we have to make it happen. And it's always the right time, and it's always the right place for such a thing. Yeah, Ozzy.
So why was the Barad on the outside of the city? That was also like a punishment.
So the Barad was, right, ending the Barad and communicating with Hashem, at that point, I guess, you know, when it was time to, when Paro was, again, maybe showing his willingness to get the message, so then again, Moshe was not in a rush necessarily to end the punishment. To bring the punishment, Moshe says, I'm telling you, Paro, right here, right now, you know, here, you know, this is it. Hashem is taking the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim once and for all. But the Rebbe is still not 100% satisfied. We'll see, it's a long piece, we may not even get to the punchline. But the Rebbe says, Aval tzorech lahavin lama nemer kan be'eretz Mitzrayim. But why does the Torah have to even mention here, right, that Hashem said, HaChodesh Hazel Lachem, to Moshe and Aaron Be'eretz Mitzrayim? Why mention that it took place in Mitzrayim at all? If Rashi clarifies, where did it take place? On the outskirts of Mitzrayim. So why even emphasize Be'eretz Mitzrayim? Why didn't the pasuk just say, Hashem told Moshe and Aaron, HaChodesh Hazel Lachem, the first month is Nisan. I'm giving you the power to establish Rosh Chodesh. Why do you have to mention Mitzrayim at all? What does Mitzrayim have to do with that mitzvah? U'manafka mina eifo diber imahem. What difference does it make where the communication took place? Especially since it was outside the main city. Right? It was somewhere in the country of Mitzrayim, but it wasn't in main, you know, in downtown Mitzrayim. So why mention Mitzrayim at all? Why not just say, Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, HaChodesh Hazel Lachem. HaChodesh Hazel Lachem. Why do you have to mention it at all? Okay, that's the Rebbe's question. Let's put it aside, and now we're going to go into a very interesting Agarata, a Gemara in Bava Kama. The Gemara in Bava Kama says the following. Okay, look at this Gemara. Fascinating Gemara. Middle paragraph. Amnam Isa Bava Kama Daf Nun Dalet. Shol Rabbi Chanina ben Agil es Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. Mipnei ma bedibros harishonos lo nemar behem tov, uvedibros hachronos nemar behem tov. However, what's the question? We just had Parshas Yisro. I know we're learning Parshas Bav, but we just had Parshas Yisro. Why in the first Aseres HaDibros? Where did the Aseres HaDibros appear in the Torah? In Yisro? and Ve'ezchanan. So why in the first Aseres HaDibros listed in, right, the Psukim and Parshas Yisro, why over there does it mention the word Tov? And why in the Dibros, sorry, in the first Dibros does it not say, I apologize, does it not say the word Tov? And why in Parshas Ve'ezchanan does it mention the word Tov? Why did the first Dibros not have a reference to Tov? It doesn't say a promise of Tov. If you honor your parents, right, it'll be Tov for you. Why is that only in the second set? Right? Again, we're not talking about what's written on the Luchos. We're talking about how the Torah presents it. Right? There's other changes between Yisro and Ve'ezchanan. By Shabbos, what's the famous change from in Shabbos? Zachar versus Shamor. Right? So Rabbi Chanina ben Agil asked Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, why is it that in the first Dibros, in Parshas Yisro, it doesn't say the word Tov, and in Parshas Ve'ezchanan, when it lists the Aseres HaDibros, it says the word Tov. What's up, Jonah? You look like you're puzzled.
I mean, Yisro's talking about like that, talking about stealing and not doing that.
No, but it talks about if you honor your by the positive commandments.
It's talking about the positive commandments in Elkanah, it's not talking about the positive.
No, again, the Ten Commandments are the same Ten Commandments in both places, right? Again, the language changes. It's the same Ten Rules. Again, in Yisro, by Shabbos, it says Zachor, remember the Shabbos. In Ve'ezchanan, it says Shamor, right? Guard the Shabbos. Maybe one is more positive, one is more negative, Zachor and Shamor. Right? In truth, at Har Sinai, Zachar v'Shamor b'dibur echad, Hashem said them at the same time, in a way that we can't even fathom. How do you say two things at the same time? But there's nuances in the language, right? Lo sachmod and lo sisave. One place it says don't be jealous. One place it says don't desire. Again, it's very similar, but it's slightly different. So we need to understand. Again, we need to understand. So Rabbi Chanina ben Agil asked Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, why is that? Why did the Torah change the language from the first Dibros to the second Dibros, yeah.
Well, I think that as you go on, it's not a mistake that Ve'ezchanan's after Yisro, and that if you anything that you look at the second time, you know how to do it better.
Okay.
And there are certain changes that it was maybe made to internalize it and make it more personal and less general to the klal of everybody, and it was more on an individual level.
Okay, it's a good drasha. And the second time a person looks at something, they have a deeper appreciation of it. So we understand why it's more tov. At first, maybe it's more burdensome. And then as time goes on, you have a better appreciation of it. Very interesting. So let's see what he answers him. Here's what he answered him. Amr Lo, in the third line in the middle paragraph. Amr Lo, he said a very strange answer to him. Ad sha'ata sho'aleini lama never b'ham tov. Before you ask me why it says tov or why it doesn't say tov, sha'aleini im never b'hen tovim lav. First ask me if it even says that. Well, what do you mean? You never read the Torah before? You're not sure what it says there? She'eini yodeya im nemar behem tov im lav. I don't know if it says tov or not. You don't know? What are you talking about? We're talking about the rabbis of the Gemara. They don't know. You don't know what it says in the Chumash? He's like, well, before you ask me why it says it, I don't even know. Is that true? Does it even say it like that? And then he gives an even stranger comment. He says, "Kalach etzel Rav Tanchum bar Chaniloi, go to Rav Tanchum, shaya rogil etzel Rav Yeshua ben Levi, because he was very close with Rav Yeshua ben Levi, shaya baki ba agada. He's an expert in agarta. Why do you need an expert in agarta to find out what it says in the Chumash? Go open up a Chumash and see what it says. Strange. He sends him, go to a master of agarta. Go to someone who's an expert in, you know, in the stories of Torah. What? Also legabe, he went to him. Amar le, so he said to him, Mimenu lo shamati. I never heard anything from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi about this. I never heard anything from my Rebbe about this. Elakach amar li Shmuel bar Nachum, achi imo shrabi acha Rabbi Chanina. Va'omri la avi imo shrabi achai Rabbi Chanina. But I heard from a different Rav. I never heard from Yeshua ben Levi, who was a master of Agarta, but I once picked up a teaching on this idea. Hoel v'sofan lihishtaber. Since the first Luchos, however, we have two passages in the Torah, again, where it presents the Aseres HaDibros, perhaps in some way they correspond to what? The fact that we had two sets of Luchos. What happened to the first Luchos? They were shattered. The second ones lasted. So I said, I once heard a teaching that since Sofan Lihishtaber, since the first Luchos were bound to be broken, right? So therefore what? It didn't say the word Tov. in the Yisro presentation of the Aseres HaDibros. V'chisofan l'shtaber mai havei. From the fact that they were eventually going to be broken, so what? Amar Rav Ashi, chas v'shalom paska tova miYisrael. If the first presentation of the Aseres HaDibros and Parshas Yisro would have had the word tov, and if I were to think that Parshas Yisro corresponds to the broken luchos, and it had the word tov, would be as if the word tov is being broken, and then, God forbid, goodness would be shattered from the Jewish people. Strange agarata. A lot of questions. Right? How did the rabbi not know the pasukim? Why did he tell him to go find an expert in agarata? Right? Jack maybe is an expert in agarata, but we could also make up a drasha as to why it says tov, why it doesn't say tov. What was going on here? How did he not know? He didn't know the pasuk. The rabbi asks in the bottom paragraph. How did he not know what the pasuk says? Why did he send him to a master of Agarata? Those are the questions the Rebbe has on this Gemara. Turn the page. Let's turn the page. So the Rebbe begins to explain on the top of page Resh Chaf Daf. And Chavra, this is really the introduction to Shir for the new Zman. Okay? Listen carefully. I'm a big, big, big believer in life. And I know many of you are. I don't know all of you so well. But I hope from the conversations that I've had with, you know, many of you one-on-one, we all understand. We know from our life's experience. You get out of something what you put into something. It's almost impossible to passively, you know, have the full experience. If you want to have a full experience in life, whatever it is, it has to be an immersive experience. Torah is an immersive experience. La'asok midivrei Torah, we make the bracha and birchas Torah, la'asok means we have to be busy with Torah, asek. It has to be an asek. You know, it has to be really, really busy. You have to be swimming in, fully immersed in. When a person goes to the mikvah, if you leave one finger out of the mikvah, you see, because, well, 99% of me is in the water, but it doesn't work. It has to be a fully immersive experience. So the Rebbe tells us, based on a Zohar, it's a famous Zohar, you should know this Zohar, it's an important Zohar. Ve'efshar. Ki noda ha de'isa b'zohar kadosh, the Zohar says in Parshas Vayera. On the pasuk, noda b'sha'arim ba'ala. Recognize the pasuk, where is it from? Eish Yischayah. No, the Bashar in Bala. So the Zohar says, Da Kutcha Brichu. This is a reference to Kutcha Brichu. This is a reference to Hashem. Di Ihu is Yada v'izdabik. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known and one is Davuk. One attaches oneself to Hashem. Lufum ma de Misha'er Belibe. Lufum, in accordance with, Ma de mishaer belibe. What's a shar? No da b'sha'arim ba'ala. The gates, right? Her husband is no da b'sha'arim. He's known in the gates. Right? It says in Eish Yischayah, it's talking about what? It's talking about the Eish Yischayah's husband. He's a chashuv guy. He comes to any, passes through any gate in any city. Oh, they greet him. They know who he is. He's known in the gates. The Zohar says, the way to know Hashem is in accordance with the gates of your heart. How big of a gateway do you open in your heart? How much room do you make for God? Who knows the famous teaching of the Kotzker? Yeah, no, you only say.
Where is Hashem wherever you let him in?
Right, where is Hashem to be found? Wherever you let him in. Right? Uncle Maishi taught us, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. But you gotta make space for God. Right? That's why the Gemara says, a Baal Gaiva pushes Hashem away. If you carry yourself as a big shot, if you don't have the humility to say, I want to learn, I don't know anything, which is how every Jew should live their life. Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything, lived his life that way, so how could we not? We have to have the humility. Moshe kibol Torah mi Sinai. Moshe got the Torah because he was humble like Har Sinai. He made himself into a kli, a receptacle. He said, I want to receive. He opened the gate. He made a big opening in his heart, and he said, Hashem, fill me up. Harchev picha va'amaleu, like we say in davening. Pasuk in Tehillim. Harchev picha, widen your mouth. Open up, and Hashem says, I'll fill you up. You know, you have to make yourself into a kli. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, experiencing God is in accordance with what? Is in accordance with the gates that we make for ourselves. How much of an opening do we make for ourselves? Says the Rebbe in the fourth line, Hainu, She'amunas kol ish Yisrael, yiraso va'avaso la'Hashem, your amuna, as manifest through your yira and your ava, your yiras Hashem, your avas Hashem, mine hisgalius hain. These are mine, these are amin, it means a form of his galus, of revelation. Shehu yisbarach misgala elav. When you feel close to God, when you feel yiras Hashem or avas Hashem, When you're working hard and you chop the tosos, right? That's a giloy elokus. It's a revelation of godliness. And you might have that, and your friend who's sitting next to you may not have that same experience. Not only he may not, he definitely won't. Right? First piece in Sichos Haran and Rabbi Nachman. But no two people have the same experience. It's hard to express in words my spiritual experience. I can't explain my relationship with Hashem. It's impossible to put it into words. And you can't explain your experiences in relationship with Hashem. But every time we have Amun on Hashem, or Yiras Hashem, or Avas Hashem, it's a giloy, it's a revelation of soul. It's a connection to God. It's God revealing Himself to you. Va'afilu im yirasu rak yirasa onesh va'avaso ava kedei lakabel pras. And even if your fear is only what? The fear of God's going to punish me. Or your love of Hashem is what? I love mitzvahs because I want to get a big prize. I want to win the reward at the end. Kedei lakabel pras, to get the prize. Gam kein min his galus elokusu. This too is a form of godly revelation. She is gala a love al yadei yirasa onesh va'ava lakabel pras chenasun belibo. You choose how you want to make the gates. If you want to make a gate in your heart that says, you know what, I want to be from because of, I don't know, social peer pressure, because I want to get a good shidduch, because I want to win the favor of my Rebbe or my friend, I don't know, my chavrusa, I don't know, some more superficial reason, that's a gate, and it counts. And it's a way to connect to Hashem. If I don't want to be afraid of being punished, but I want to have an awe, a godly awe of being in the presence of Hashem, it's another madriga. Right? If my love of Hashem is not love of mitzvos because I get prizes, but love of mitzvos because what a schus it is to attach myself to Torah and mitzvos, that's a different gate. Each person makes a gateway. You decide how big you want to make the gate in your heart. All the more so a person who does it solely for God's sake, what we call the Shema. You do it for the right reason. It's much greater. Shehi min hesgalus. This is again another form of revelation. These are all forms of revelation. How much do you let Hashem into your life? Continues the Rebbe in the next paragraph. Look what he writes here. Sha'ish eino roa kamo anavi esmaros elokim. The Rebbe was a big believer, by the way, in the possibility of working on ourselves to such a degree that we can experience something like nevuah. I know that sounds crazy to us. But the Rebbe has in his writings, he talks about different pathways, channels, of how we can prepare ourselves to become a kli to actually receive something like nevuah, even in our times. But the Rebbe says, most of us, she'ayish eino roa kamo hanavi asmara salokim. None of us have actually seen, right, an actual nevuah, a vision of God, the way the greatest Jews of history have. But we've also had encounters with Hashem. We would be lying to ourselves, or we'd be blind to our own reality if we didn't say we've encountered Hashem. We've met Hashem. We've seen God, maybe not with our physical eyes. Right? We've made contact with Hashem, maybe not the way I touch this Gemara, but every time we learn Gemara, Baal Tanya says you're hugging the king. Yeah, you're in Hashem's arms. We've touched Hashem. We've seen Hashem. Right? We could use a phrase like, I've tasted Torah. What do you mean, tasted Torah? You ate a piece of Torah. You were so hungry you ripped the page out of your Gemara and you ate it. What do you mean, tasted Torah? We tasted Torah. We know what that means to taste Torah. We've experienced it. So we've never had a nevuah, he says, like a Navi. Rakayira mimenu va'ava v'amuna bo yisvarach mimaros elokim. Shenesgala lenafsho margish. But we felt Hashem. We've had a davening filled with ava or yira. We've had a Shabbos where it was ava or yira. Right? We can close our eyes and go to certain places and picture what it was like to feel in the presence of Hashem. No? Nathaniel, what was the best Shabbos of your life? Sorry to put you on the spot.
This is why my life was probably that I can think of.
Doesn't have to be the best. Memorable. We can close your eyes. You can put yourself there.
One of the first Av Shabbats in Shana Olive, we stayed at Yoni's apartment.
Oh yeah.
And we had a nice Kishmat Friday night davening by the Kotel.
It's awesome.
And it was really beautiful.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You can picture it, right? It's crystal clear.
Yeah.
Remember the chevra, you can remember the food, you remember the davening, you remember everything. The whole experience. I'd say one of the best Shabbos of my life was when I was in Mezhbush for Shabbos. Oh, Donnie, how was the trip?
Amazing.
I got to hear all about it. Who else? Was anyone else on the trip? Jesse, right? Wow.
That was also a great Shabbos. We did that too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can picture like every second of it. Right? I can could picture like every play. It's like so l'nafsho margish, right? To a soul, you feel it in your soul. You can. So that's also. So you've experienced Hashem. You've seen Hashem. Again, not with your physical eyes, but you've experienced it. V'hareiza ke'ein ha'omer b'Daniel. It's like it says in Sefer Daniel in Perek Yud. V'ra'isi ani Daniel levadia samara. Nice pasuk. V'ra'isi ani Daniel levadia samara. This is Master Rabbi Nachman talked about in that first. Daniel says, I experienced what? I experienced the vision by myself. I saw something that no one else saw. Every one of us could say that. Every one of us can say that. At some point in our life, we experienced something. I had a moment of godly revelation, a moment of clarity, or even a moment of questioning that is uniquely mine. V'anoshim asher hayu imi lo roa samara. Right? And the people who were with me, Hanani, Mishael, Vazaria, they didn't have the same experience. Aval charada gedola nafla aleihem. But they also trembled. They felt something, but they didn't see it the way that I saw it. Which means two people can be next to each other. They can both have an experience, not exactly the same. Because one person's heart is more open, or one person's, you know, emotionally more present. Right? Or one person is intellectually more curious, more committed. Nathaniel, you had your hand up, or just...
No.
Oh, okay, I wasn't sure if you were signaling. Okay. So says the Rebbe in the next paragraph, L'chein kol echad l'fi shemeichin atzmo u'miskasher shiyazgale elav Hashem. So this is the introduction to Shira. Each person according to the degree that he prepares himself. And he kashers himself, he readies himself, that Hashem should reveal himself to him. Kach emunoso yiroso v'avoso v'chol espalos midosov elav yisbarach. So too, the amuna and the yira and the ava and all of his sensory experiences. Every one of them. V'chein ha'asoga b'torah, his grasp, his understanding of Torah. Whether you walk out of this semester, this zman, knowing the second parak of Makos in a deeper way, or you just have a very superficial understanding of things, or you miss too many days, or you miss too many sugyos. V'chein ha'asoga b'torah asher kol echad meisig b'nigla u'v'nistar. Whether it's in revealed Torah, whether it's in hidden dimensions of Torah, he's going to explain what that means in a second. Hasagas elokis hi. It's an attainment, it's a grasping of godliness. Every bit of your ava, your yira, your sensory experience, the Shabbos that you remember, the davening, the good conversation you had late at night with a Rebbe or a friend. All of these things, these are moments where you meet Hashem. Kevan shuhu yisbarach nimtza b'Torah, because Hashem himself is found in the Torah. When you sit down and you read the Parsha, I was standing at the baggage terminal waiting for our bags to come off. It was taking a really long time. I took out my cell phone, and I opened up Safaria, and I read through, while I was standing there, I read through the entire Parsha of the Mishpatim. It took a while for the bags to come out. Right? So I met a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, at, 12 o'clock, at midnight last night in Newark Airport. Right? And every word, the Pesukim I understood, the Pesukim I didn't understand, the ones I understood more deeply, the ones I understood more superficially. Right? But every time you encounter Torah, you meet Hashem. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what Torah you're learning. You open up Bav Metzia and you read a Mishnah. It's not about two guys fighting over a talis. It's about meeting a Kodesh Baruch. It's about encountering God. You grasp the godliness found in that page of Gemara, Bav Metzia, Daf Beis. Afshadaito hanigla choshev oz dvarm hanira meidivrei ha'olam. Even though it appears, the language, the words sound like, well, you're talking about things of this world. Reuven, Shimon, Talis, and Meriva. You have a Reuven, you have a Shimon, you have a Talis, you have two guys fighting over a Talis. What does that do with God? Because that's what he says, that has everything to do with Hashem. Because when you learn Torah, you're attaching yourself, you're meeting and encountering the Ratzon Hashem. You're thinking, you're learning to think and to feel the way Hashem feels. So if I want to be close with my wife, I have to know how she feels, I have to know how she thinks. I have to know what she desires, right? If you want to be a good friend, you have to know what is your friend like, right? What type of music does he listen to? Yeah, what's his his favorite sefer to learn? What sports team does he follow? Whatever it is, whether it's superficial or it's something deep. But if I want to be connected, I have to know what matters to you. So Hashem cares about Reuben and Shimon fighting over a talis. So when I show that I care about Reuben and Shimon fighting over a talis, I'm showing God that I care about you. Interested in learning to think the way that you think. Yeah, Ellie.
Is there a time when someone's learning and they're not getting this?
It's a great question. The answer is no. When you're touching Torah, you're touching Hashem. But again, going back to the Zohar at the top of the page, in accordance with how emotionally and intellectually, you know, open you are, it'll be more or less of an experience. You may not realize all the time. Right? You might close your Gemara and be out of frustration and say, I don't really care about a guy who goes to an Ir Miklat. Nothing to do with me. Right? So it does take, again, work to be able to realize that this is what you're experiencing, but it does happen automatically with Torah, more so than anything else, which is why Talmud Torah connected Kula. There's not necessarily, I'll say something radical. When you're saying radical, I'll say something totally radical. Listen to this. Say something totally radical, okay? All right, you ready for this? Something radical. Is there more godliness found in an ice cream cone? A person's eating an ice cream cone. Yeah? What's your favorite ice cream flavor? Yeah. You have a favorite? Yeah. What'd you say? Cookie dough? Okay, cookie dough. So you're eating an ice cream, you're eating cookie dough ice cream. Right? Versus learning a piece of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker, right? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, deep, penetrating analysis of the Rambam, right? Or davening, you know, Ne'ilon Yom Kippur versus a bowl of cookie dough ice cream. Which one has more godliness in it, right? So immediately, my hergish, my feeling, Ne'ilon Yom Kippur, piece of Torah, Chiddush, and Rav Chaim Brisker, a bowl of ice cream, there's obviously more godliness found in the Ilah of Yom Kippur than there is in a bowl of ice cream. The truth is, no, ain't old mavado. The truth is, bepnimius, in the inner understanding of Torah, there's as much God in a bowl of ice cream. The problem is, learning how to access it is a little bit more difficult. But to say that there's more godliness found, you know, in this place as opposed to that place is kfira. Really, but it's kfir to say such a thing. The reason that we say, in Chazal say, Talmud Torah connected Kulam, why is Torah the greatest? It's the answer to Eli's question, because there's something automatic that happens when I learn Torah. It transforms me whether I realize it or not. I might say, Gemara is so boring, but I promise you that if you stick at it for a long time, if you just keep going, not only will you come to taste it and enjoy it, right? But there's no question that even if you still, it's not your favorite thing in the world, it changes a person. I don't know how it works. I don't know why it works. I can just tell you it works. The people who do it are transformed by it. The people who, you know, for whatever reason are too, you know, non-committal or too lazy or just too disinterested or don't give it a fair shot, they don't become transformed by it. It just doesn't work. You know? It doesn't matter where you're coming from or how, you know. As long as you just gotta grow and grow and grow. I would say that's one of the main goals of this year, to be a growing Jew. Each person, right? Each person, lefum sha'ara dilai, each person according to his own gates. Wherever you're holding, some people have very good learning skills, some people can hardly read Hebrew. Okay. But the common denominator should be, at the very least, when we step into this room together, is that we want to be growing over the Hashem. And I've seen, Baruch Hashem, over the years, the guys who really try hard, you know, in the schus of our tzibur, they grow. Not everyone becomes a stuchin or chassin. So those pictures in the WhatsApp group. Not everyone gets to have Rav Matel Zilber dancing at your wedding. But some do. Some guys who didn't even go to Israel for the year went to, you know, not such serious learning yeshivas, end up in very serious places. Not that has to be the goal either. You don't have to be a chassin. Not the goal either. Just because you're learning chassidus doesn't mean you have to be chassid in that sense. Okay, let's just do a little bit more. So now the Rebbe says, Lachain, next paragraph, Lachain. A couple more minutes. Lachain ha'ish ha'yisraeli bilimudo es ha'torah b'pshat b'torah v'chein b'nistar. Whatever you're learning, and again, this is part of the answer to Eli's question. Some Torah feels deep and godly. Some Torah feels very, you know, technical. So whether you're learning pshat of Torah, whether you're learning Nistar, the secret dimensions of Torah, Tzarech lishtadel, you should underline this line, Tzarech lishtadel, if you have the Sefer, Sheyavo al Bechina Sod. We're entering into Chodesh Adar. Right? The pinnacle of Adar, of course, is Purim. And on Purim, there's a mitzvah to safely enter into a space called Adlo Yada, which one enters through drinking Yayin, Mishnechnas Yayin Yatsa Sod. When you drink wine, you enter a place called, what's sod? What are sodos haTorah? I was driving in Florida, I passed the Kabbalah Center. Is that sodos haTorah? They got the sod over there? Who's got the sod? Weinberg was talking last night about the sod ha'ibor, the secret of the intercalculation of the calendar year. Right? Figuring out how to cheshbon the year. When is it a leap year? What's the so? What's the secret? Right? When we learn Torah, it doesn't matter what you're learning, says the Rebbe. You could be learning Ibn Ezra, who would say, I'm pshat. Rashi, in several places in the Chumash, says, I'm here to explain pshat. No matter what you're learning, whether you're learning a Kabbalah, you're learning Eitz Chaim of the Arizal, whether you're learning Ibn Ezra, whether you're learning Gemara Rashi Tosos, right? Or you're learning, Sif Seichein, you're learning some deep sefer, whatever it is. Tzarech li'eshtadel sheyavel b'chinas sod. We have to all be searching for the secret. There's always a secret. In everything there's a secret. Ukamosha kasa b'sefer, kadosh ma'or v'shemesh, like it says in the holy work ma'or v'shemesh. What is sod? Is sod only to be found in learning Zohar and Kabbalah? What is sod? Shebechinas sod shebetorah ein hakavana ala Kabbalah. You don't have to learn Zohar to experience sod in Torah. You don't have to learn Chassidus Shesvarim. You don't have to learn Arizal. Right? Again, you may want to learn all those things. I do. But you don't have to learn those things to experience sod. Ki advarim nimtsam bisvar. Look what he writes. Ki advarim nimtsam bisvarim hageluyim. However, how much of a secret could it be, like Rav Weinberger asked last night, if the Rambam explains how to, you know, work out all the calculations of the moon, so it can't be such a secret if it's all written there in the books. You walk into any Jewish svarim store. I guess it's contradicting Jewish svarim. You walk into a svarim store. You walk into a svarim store, a Jewish bookstore. Yeah? And you look around. So there's a shelf of Gemaras, and there's a section of, you know, Chumashim, commentaries on Chumash, and then there's a section, right, in any decent svarim store that says what? Kabbalah. There's no guard standing by the entrance to the Kabbalah section, you know, asking to see like your card carrying member, you know? Let me see your ID. Are you over 40? You want to, you know, take you into a back room, buy the good svarim, you know, the secret svarim. Yeah, that's ID. No one's checking you. You can walk in, you can walk out with a full set of Zohar. You don't even know how to read all of this. So says the Mor of Hashemesh, if it's all in the books, it's all available for anyone to read. Anyone who wants to learn it can go and buy it. Especially in our world today, you can order on Amazon, get it at your doorstep tonight. Right? Anyone can go find the chavrusa. Anyone can learn it. It's all there. The word, you can read all the words. They're all. You may not understand it in a deep way. Fine, we get it. So what's the real sod of Torah? Right? What's the real sod of Torah? People say, I don't learn sod of Torah. What is the sod of Torah? What is the real secret of every page of Gemara? What is the secret of every pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, which seems very technical? This week's Parsha, very, very, you know, very filled with, you know, technical stuff. What's the secret of it? Rak bechina sod shebetorah, who is galus ha'alokus, shenizgala l'chol echad l'fi ercho. The secret of the Torah is how much godliness do you know how to squeeze out of that page of Gemara. How much God do you find in that, you know, roll of sushi as you make a bracha on it? Al yedei Torah, in accordance with the Torah that you learn and the way that you learn it. V'zeh be'emes sod shelo yuchol echol lilmodim chaveiro v'im talmido. Your chavrusa can't teach it to you. Your Rebbe can't teach it to you. No one can teach it to you. You got to go find it yourself. That's the secret that you're searching for, that a curious, growth-oriented Ben Torah is searching for in every bit of Torah that he learns. V'nishar l'chol echad lo la'atzmo u'lefi matzavo v'avodaso. And it's available, again, to each person in accordance with what? In accordance with his situation and his experience and his willingness to go out and find it. To dig for it, to search for it. Again, you may say, I don't even know what that means to search for it. How do I read Makos in a way that I feel Hashem? And the Rebbe is saying, your chavrusa can't explain it to you. The guy who's a little bit older than you can't explain it to. Your Rebbe can't explain it to. No Sefer is able to explain it to. Again, they can give you, you know, points along the way. The same way the Gemara in Chagiga discusses when you learn the secrets of Torah, Jewish mysticism. Right? Even the Rebbe who is trying to teach it to the Talmud can't really teach it. But the same thing is true about everything. There has to be a level of discovering it on your own. A level of anochi adati, something that I know, I just know. I know from my experience. I can't put it into words. I can't explain it to my friend. But that's the secret. Right? It's not about a particular sefer. This is a secret of sefer of Torah. And this is revealed Torah, nigla and nistar. All of Torah is a secret. And it's our job to try to find that secret. Yeah, Yosef Manas.
The only difference between, let's say, Daf Gemara and a bowl of ice cream would be that Daf Gemara is more ornamental.
Right.
Like you said, it's,
that's right.
It's just easier than the theory.
That's right, because it's easier to eat the bowl of ice cream like an animal. Right? It's harder to know what does it mean to have the right kavana when I eat that bowl of ice cream, to experience a hasagas elukus, a revelation of godliness.
Do we understand?
This is Hashem. Right? This is Hashem in written form. The bowl of ice cream is also Hashem. Einon Mavada. If you understand the pnimius of Einon Mavada, there's nothing other than Hashem. Right? So what's the difference between Matthew and Yoni?
And is it,
right?
Is it a feeling?
This table and this book.
Like let's say I feel more connected because I feel Hana out of the bowl of ice cream. I'm thinking of
Tanug is one of the highest, experiences in the Jewish spiritual experience. Right? But obviously to a person who really knows how to feel, right? Person who knows how to feel in a deep way feels much more pleasure from a daf of Gemara than a bowl of ice cream. A person who's more animalistic, right, who's less refined, like we are as regular human beings, right? So we find it easier to access in terms of pleasure a bowl of ice cream than to access the pleasure of a difficult tosos. Right? But again, as we grow, hopefully over the course of a lifetime, right, we start to change the things that excite us. You know. I think back to certain excitement that I had in my youth for certain, types of sports or music. And I still have an appreciation for those things. Music definitely much more than sports. Right? But there's certain things that, you enjoy when you're younger. And hopefully as you mature and you get older, yeah. I saw a couple sitting across from me at the airport. For those who like jam bands and that kind of stuff. So there's this older couple. The guy was wearing a Grateful Dead T-shirt, and his Rebbetzin was wearing a String Cheese Incident long sleeve T-shirt. Those were holding, jam bands, and they probably dedicate their life to following around, going to festivals and shows and fish and whatever. That's the Ravoda. So I had friends who that was their Ravoda when they were younger. Baruch Hashem, they're not 60 years old and still holding by that. I also have old Talmidim who I taught in high school who are still their whole life's work is to go to as many fish shows as they can. That's their. All right, whatever. But hopefully you grow, you learn to appreciate a deeper type of pleasure, a deeper type of tanuk, a spiritual pleasure. Again, it's an acquired taste. You give a 5-year-old a fancy glass of, dry red wine or a cup of grape juice. The kid's going to say the wine tastes disgusting and the grape juice is delicious. Right? But obviously a mature palate understands that the grape juice is just sugar, sugar water, and a fine glass of wine is a fine glass of wine. It's an acquired taste. So Torah is an acquired taste. Right? It takes a maturity to understand why it tastes good and why it's sweet. Yeah.
Would you say that, Chas v'Shalom, somebody cannot have any feeling of Hashem while learning Gemara, or that's completely impossible?
I think at a certain stage one can, yeah. That doesn't mean it's not transforming. That's the point I was trying to make before.
But I'm saying
but it's possible to have yes, it's possible to learn Torah and have no feeling, not only to have no feeling, to have a bitter feeling, to not like it at all.
Even if it would seem to be easier to connect to?
Again, it's not easier, it's not...
Or more revealed.
There's in some ways, it's easier to find God, again, to one who's seeking Hashem. Right? You have to,
right?
But there may be many, many, days and weeks and months and years of working and working and working until you have that breakthrough. There's an unbelievable story in the Sefer Sichos Bavodas Hashem. Whoever's familiar with that Sefer, how many people are familiar with the Sefer Sichos Bavodas Hashem? So Sichos Bavodas Hashem, he tells a story about Rav Aral Roth. The Rebbe of Shomer Amunim told the Saron, Rav Aral Roth, he says, and he writes himself, he says, in my younger years, I hated learning Torah. I found Torah to be a very bitter experience. I couldn't enjoy it at all. And I tried and I tried and I tried to have that breakthrough, and I couldn't. I just didn't enjoy it. He became a big Rebbe, but he didn't come from Rebbes. He said, I couldn't find a way. And he tried and he tried. He said, one day he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it. I'm at my breaking point. I feel that I've really made an effort. He said, I'm going to walk into the Beis Medrash. I hope I'm telling the story accurately. I'm going to walk into the Beis Medrash. I'm going to pull a sefer off the shelf. and I'm just going to learn it, and Hashem, you better make it taste sweet. Otherwise, like, I don't know, that's it. Like, I don't know, maybe Torah's not for... I'm not going to go off the derech, but like, I'm not going to strive to become a Talmud Chacham. Learning's not my thing. I'll do a lot of other mitzvahs, whatever. And maybe I'll learn like a Mishnah a day, just to be Yotze, you know, V'gisabo Yom V'layla, but I'm not going to strive to... I always had aspirations to be a Talmud Chacham, but every time I learn Torah, it's a bitter experience. I don't... So he, you know, threatened Hashem, like, this is it. Last chance. Goes into the Beis Medrash, you know, closes his eyes, picks a sefer off the shelf, opens it up. It's the Rosh's commentary on Mikvos. Very inspired, you know? Like, you could have landed on, like, a, I don't know, right, Pesach Kron, like, storybook or something, you know? Like, something, you know, touched by a story, volume 17 or whatever. Yeah? I don't know, something, Eish Kodesh, something. Kedush Slavi, something, you know? The Rosh on Mikvos. Here's what he writes. He says, I sat down, I started to learn. He said, every word of Torah tasted like swallowing mamish mar, like swallowing a bitter pill. He said he sat there crying over it, just trying to understand, so technical, so difficult, so you know, just trying. And he said, suddenly, that's what he says, he describes it. I don't know how to explain this. And he can't, again, he tries to put it into words, but he can't put it, such an experience into words. He said something clicked. He said, all of a sudden, like I had this breakthrough, and mamish vina halfachu, it became the sweetest thing in the world. Told the Saran, big Rebbe, amazing Svarim, Shomer Munim, other amazing Svarim. He said he pushed, he cried over it. He swallowed those bitter words of Torah until they became sweet. You know, so it happens. It can happen, but it's not going to happen if you're going to be standing, you know, on the side of the pool, like putting your like pinky toe in. You know, your friends are swimming around, like the water's geschmack, get in. It's warm. It's good. And you're like, nah, it's too cold. I don't know. I can't jump in. Jump in the pool. Throw yourself into the mayim, in mayim al Torah. When you throw yourself in, it becomes sweet. That's it. That's the way to do it. That's how you make the water sweet. Okay? Let's just do two more paragraphs and then we'll stop for today. Bottom paragraph on the page. Reish Chav Dalet. Lachein kol ish. Acher limudo. So, again, there's the mission statement. Every Jew, every time you learn, when you finish learning, at the end of a shiur, I know we're all busy and we're running to class, we got to grab lunch quickly and we got to do this and that. It's hard. It's not easy. By you, I always say, being in yeshiva here is a good training ground for life. Right? Because I promise you, you can ask anyone who's graduated, they'll tell you, it just gets busy. You think you're so busy right now, and I'm not making light of it, right? You feel that. But I'm telling you, God willing, you'll be married, you'll have a family, you'll have a job, you'll have responsibilities in the world, personal ones, communal obligations. You know, it's... You're going to look back and say, why he was a joke. I had so much time if I would have managed my time properly. And again, I'm not making light. In the moment, it feels very dachuf. It feels like there's tremendous pressure. But you got to learn how to balance it. You got to figure out, how do I get to davening in the morning? When do I grab mincha? You know, when do I do my work? All right? Night seder. Is night seder realistic? Can I do 10 minutes of night seder? Can I do an hour of night seder? 2 hours of night seder? Right? When am I going to catch ma'ariv? What chabura or shira am I going to join? In the evening, you know, there's people here to help you find chavrusas at night. What do I want to learn? What are my goals? What are my aspirations? So the Rebbe says, after a person learns, shalom made eza shah, you learn for a period of time. V'chein acher tfilasa v'avodasa, or after a davening, tzarich lahabid bikirbo, imiskariv ma'at al kolpanim el b'chinas hasod. You have to ask yourself, did I draw close al kolpanim a little bit, at the very least ma'at? That I draw a little closer to the secret of Torah. Do I feel a little more connected than before? Am I feeling more spiritually inspired than when I walked into this room at 9:31 this morning? Have I grown from the time? Right? Being in the presence of these great Jews, learning the words of the Eish Kodesh. Am I a different person than I was when I woke up this morning? I hope the answer is yes. Chutz miza, tzarech listakel bekirbo, b'chol eiza chadashim oshanim. I have to look back. At the end of a month, at the end of a week, at the end of a year. Chodesh Shvat has come and gone. I'm entering into Chodesh Adar. Right? It's the spring semester. The fall semester is behind us. First parak of Maseches Makos is on the back burner right now. I'm entering into the second parak. I have to ask myself. I look back. Shana Aleph is over. Shana Bet is over. Whatever it is, wherever you're coming from. I look back. I have to reflect on that. And ask myself, Im Niskari of Bekulo Yoser, have I drawn closer? After every hour of learning or davening or avoda, every Shabbos, was I changed by Shabbos? was I changed by the experience. Top of the next page. Hanu afilu imlo nis'ala kulo. Even if I haven't been completely transformed, I haven't been completely nis'ala, elevated. Shagam yakum b'makom kadsho. Even if I've just gained a new tool to maintain my position, even if I'm not backsliding, you know? Shuvu banim shovavim. These are days of shovavim. Return, Hashem says, get back to at least the level you were on. You're shovavim, you're slipping away. Do I have the tools to at least not have a yurida? It's a big thing. V'yeh be'em is gadol mikfi shahaya. Can I at least hold on? The Rebbe's talking to Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto. They're under tremendous pressure. Mamish mesiras nefesh, to stay alive another day. And the Rebbe's pressuring them. Are you keeping up with your learning? Keeping up with your davening? Rebbe, we're starving. We're frozen. They took away everything. We've lost relatives. We're suffering horribly. And the Rebbe's hinting to them, he's saying to them, you got to keep up. You have the tools to keep up. You still know the secret? The Nazis can't take away that secret. The secret of your connection to Hashem is yours. No one can teach it to you and no one can take it away from you. Only you can choose to abandon it. Yiram al kol panim lefi shah. Hayno achrei shas ha-Torah. Hayno osa ishal acher shos ha-batala. How do you feel after sitting on the couch for 3 hours watching a ball game? And how do you feel after a morning seder? You feel different, the Rebbe says. After an hour or two of batala, of wasting time, of scrolling through YouTube videos, how do you feel? You feel good? Or after really working hard during the morning seder, how do you feel? Which one leaves you with the feeling, right? And again, we know which one we like. We know when we feel good, when we feel connected. And yet sometimes we still fall into the clutches of the Yetzer Hara. We make the silly decision to waste our time. And with this we conclude. Muvan b'zeh. Ha'da'omer Rashi b'shem ha'medrash sof parshas b'shalach. We'll end with this Rashi. Because this, again, enters us into the world of Chodesh Adar haba aleinu l'tova. Rashi says at the end of parshas b'shalach, on the words, da'al yidei sha'amru, when Klal Yisrael said, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im'ayin, we'll talk a lot more about that pasuk. When the Jewish people said one of the most unfathomable phrases of the Torah, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im'ayin. Is Hashem with us or not? Imagine? How do you ask such a question? Who knows the answer to the Hashem? Yesh Hashem or Ein Hashem? What do you say? What's the answer? Yesh Hashem. Vada Yesh Hashem. What are you asking? Yesh Hashem, Ein Hashem. What are they talking about? What's the gematria of Yesh Hashem? Everybody needs to know the answer to the question. The Jew doesn't say Ein Hashem. Ein Hashem, that's a Malik. Baal Malik. When they said, Ayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im'ayin, Baal Malik. A Malik is the world of the Nachash, the world of Haman, the world of Klal Yisrael falling apart. The answer to the question is Yesh. Everyone has to know the answer. Right? When that part inside of you, when that amalek creeps inside of you and creates a suffix, amalek is gematria suffix, it creates doubts. You're not sure. Is there a God? Is there not a God? Yesh Hashem, Ein Hashem. No, Yossi, what's the answer? Loud and clear. Yesh Hashem. What's the gematria of Yesh Hashem? 336. Anyone know 336? 336 is gematria of Purim. Purim is Yesh Hashem. By the time we get to Purim, a Jew has to be able to say, Yesh Hashem, you could take away my brain on Purim. Adelo yada, and I still know, without any of the Torah, without any of the ideas, I feel, I know, Yesh Hashem. Yesh Hashem is gematria Purim. I know it, I feel it. When the Jews said, Yesh Hashem, b'kirbeinu im'ayin ba'a malik, says the Medrash Tanchuma, why did a malik come? Isa al yadei sharafu yadeya min haTorah. Because we weakened our hands over Torah. Right? So which is it? Why did the malik attack? Was it a lack of Torah? Or is it because we lack the clarity of Hashem in our life? Chaver, what's the P.S.S. the Rabbi's answer going to be? Exact same thing. If you have a strong connection to Torah, if your hands are strong in Torah, not rafu yadayim in a Torah. If your hands are strong in Torah, if you're holding, clutching Torah tightly, says the Rabbi, last paragraph for today, ukev nizkar le'el, lo pligi, it's not a machlokis in these Beis Midrashim. The rafu yadayim min haTorah, what does it mean that the Torah is slipping through your fingers? It means you're not grabbing onto the sod, the secret of Torah. Da'af shalamdu lo haisa Torah b'chinas yad. Even though you learn Torah, but the Torah is not like a yad. A yad means a handle, something you can grasp onto. Right? He quotes the Mishnah Maseches Uktzin, which talks about stems. Stems attached to fruit. Is it tame? Is it tar? Is it attached? Is it not attached? Right? Kol shehu yad, anything that's a handle. Anything that can be used to hold on to. Ke'et ha-mechuber l'pri. Attached. A yad is just another way of saying what? So rafi yadeim in a Torah means what? We learn Torah, but we're not grasping it. It's not in our hand. I learned the Mishnah in Makos, and I didn't grasp godliness when I experienced it. Shal yadu ne'achezes b'pri. But through a yad, you grab a fruit. You grab onto something. V'lo bo al yadei Torah el b'chinas asod. We're talking about a person who learns Torah, but he's not seeking connection. Right? He doesn't understand there's a difference between his morning shiur and his afternoon class. They're not the same thing. They're not the same thing. The experience is not the same. How you get a grade is not the same. It's a different thing. It's a different thing. Atcha Amru, to the point that they say, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu amayin. You read the Gemara in Makos, you're like, what does that have to do with God? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu? Is this filled with Hashem? And the answer is yes, Yesh Hashem. But you got to open those gates. You got to look for it. Shalohir gishum niskarvu elav yizubarach al yada. Because if you're not looking, you're going to wonder, what's the point of all this? Why am I wasting my time? How is reading this different than the books they're handing out in law school? So I might as well be a lawyer. That pays a lot more. To learn this, I have to pay a lot of money. Become a lawyer, they'll pay me a lot of money. It's the same technical, I don't know, tort law. What do I need to learn Gemara for? But that's the sod that we're searching for during these days. Okay, so we didn't really get back to the Agarata that we started with. We didn't get back, certainly didn't get back to the question on Rashi from Mitzrayim. So maybe we'll have to figure it out. Maybe tomorrow we'll finish the piece. We have to stop here. It's pretty late. Got to pause. But I think this is a very good Hakdama to Shir. And again, I think it spells out the mission statement for a Jew in general. Right? Do I want to be someone who finds the Sod of Torah? Am I searching? Or do I understand what I'm searching for? Do I understand what's the point of any book that I open? What's the point of any tefillah that I daven? What's the point of any mitzvah that I do? Do I pause? Do I pause for a second? For a second? Like the Ramban says in his famous letter, when you get up from learning, pause for a second and just ask yourself, what did I learn? You know? Get a notebook and write down at the end of Shiur every day one idea that was meaningful to you. Or one idea, one new Torah concept that you learned. Right? It could be the essence of the Shiur, or it could be, I never knew there was a Masechta called Uktzin. Rabbi just quoted Mesechus Uktz, never heard of that. I don't know anything about that, don't even know where to find it in Shas. It's like, I write in my notebook, there's a Mesechta called Uktz. You learned something new today. Okay, so we should be Zoche to find the Sod of Torah. Let's take a little break. It was a long shift.